Week 4, Day 4. Angels and Spirits Engage in Debate. Angels and Spirits engage in a debate about the Lord, faith, and Christian doctrine. True Christian Religion 137. I heard that a synod had been convoked of those celebrated for their writings and learning in respect to the faith of the present day, and the justification of the elect thereby. This was in the world of spirits, and it was granted me to be present in the spirit. And I saw an assembly of the clergy, both those of like belief and those of differing beliefs. On the right stood those who were called in the world the apostolic fathers, who had lived in the centuries preceding the Nicene Council. On the left stood men renowned in the succeeding centuries for their printed or manuscript works. Many of these latter had no beards, and wore curled wigs made of women's hair, and some of them wore ruffled collars with points, while the former had beards and wore their natural hair. In front of them all stood a man, a judge and a critic of the writings of the present century, with a staff in his hand. He struck the floor and caused silence. Then he ascended to the upper step of the pulpit and breathed out a sigh, and wished to follow it up by a loud exclamation, but the sighing breath kept back the sound in his throat. At length he spoke and said, "Oh, what an age, my brethren! There has risen up from the herd of the laity one having neither gown, tiara, or laurel, who has plucked our faith from heaven and hurled it into the Styx. Oh, horrible! And yet that faith alone is our star, shining like Orion in the night and like Lucifer in the morning. That man, though advanced in years, is wholly blind to the mysteries of our faith, because he has not investigated it and seen in it the righteousness of the Lord our Savior, and his mediation and propitiation. And as he has not seen these, neither has he seen the wonders of its justification, which are the remissions of sin, regeneration, sanctification, and salvation. This man, in place of our faith, which, being a faith in three divine persons and therefore the whole deity, is saving to the utmost, has transferred faith to the second person, yet not even to him, but to his human, which we called divine because of the incarnation of the Son from eternity. But is there anyone who thinks of it as anything more than merely human? From this, what else can result but a faith from naturalism, which flows as from a fountain? And such a faith, not being spiritual, differs but little from faith in a pope or faith in a saint. You know what Calvin said in his time about worship from that kind of faith. And pray tell me, any one of you, whence comes faith? Must it not directly be from God, to thus have in it all things of salvation? At this, his companions on the left, who had shaven faces, curly wigs, and collars about their necks, clapped their hands and said, "Oh, you have spoken most wisely! We know that we can take nothing that is not given us from heaven. If this is not faith, let that prophet tell us where faith comes from and what it is. It cannot be anything else from any other source. To set forth any faith that is a faith other than this is as impossible as for one to ride on horseback to some constellation in heaven, or to take a star from it and hide it in his pocket and bring it down." This they said to make their companions laugh at any new belief. Hearing this, the men on the right, who had bearded chins and wore their natural hair, were indignant, and one of them rose up, an old man, although he afterwards looked like a young man, for he was an angel from heaven, where those of all ages become youthful. And he spoke and said, "I have heard what your faith is, which the man in the pulpit has so magnified, but what is such a faith but our Lord's sepulchre after the resurrection, when it had been closed again by Pilate's soldier? I have explored it and have seen nothing in it but the juggler's rods, with which the magicians in Egypt wrought miracles. Indeed, externally your faith, in your eyes, is like a shrine of molten gold set with precious stones, but when opened, it's found empty, except perhaps for a little dust in the corners from papal relics, since that church has the same faith. Only, with them at the present day, it's overlaid with external sanctities. Your faith, if I may indulge in further comparisons, is like a Vestal Virgin among the ancients who has been buried alive for letting the sacred fire go out. And I can assure you that in my eyes, it's like the golden calf around which the children of Israel danced when Moses had gone away and had ascended Mount Sinai to Yahuwah. But be not surprised that I use such comparisons in speaking of your faith, for so we speak of it in heaven. Our faith, on the other hand, is, was, and forever will be, a faith in the Lord God the Savior, whose human is divine and whose divine is human, thus is adapted to reception, and by it the divine spiritual is united to the natural of man, and a spiritual faith is formed in the natural, and, from the spiritual light in which our faith is, the natural becomes, as it were, transparent. The truths of which our faith consists are as many as the verses in the sacred volume. The truths are all like stars, which by their light make faith manifest and give it form. Man acquires this faith from the Word by means of his natural light, in which light it is knowledge, thought, and persuasion. But the Lord causes it, in those who believe in him, to become conviction, trust, and confidence. Thus faith becomes spiritual natural, and by means of charity it becomes living. With us, this faith is like a queen adorned with precious stones, as numerous as those in the wall of the Holy Jerusalem. But lest you look upon what I have said as mere boasting and worthy of little regard, I will read you some passages from the Holy Word, from which it will be evident that our faith is not faith in a man, as you suppose, but in the true God, in whom is the entire divine. John says, Jesus Christ is the true God in eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 20. Paul says that in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the divinity bodily. Colossians 2, verse 9. And in the Acts of the Apostles, that he preached both to Jews and to Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 20, verse 21. And the Lord himself says that there was given to him all power in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. These are but a few such passages. I turned to the president and said, I know that all here present are associated with their like in the natural world. Tell me, I pray, do you know with whom you are associated? He answered in a grave tone,
I do. I am associated with a celebrated man, a leader of a host in the army of illustrious men in the church.
He answered in so grave a tone, I said, Pardon me if I ask whether you know where that celebrated leader lives. He answered,
I do. He lives not far from the tomb of Luther.
This I smiled and said, Why do you mention the tomb? Do you not know that Luther is risen and has now renounced his erroneous ideas of justification by faith in three divine persons from eternity? And therefore he's been placed among the blessed in the new heaven. He sees and laughs at those who run mad after him. And he replied,
I know, but what is that to me?
I then addressed him in a grave tone like his own, saying, Inspire your celebrated man with whom you are associated with this, whether there is not reason to fear that in writing as he did against the worship of our Lord and Savior, he at the same time robbed the Lord of his own divinity, contrary to the orthodoxy of his church, or allowed his pen to plow a furrow in which he thoughtlessly sowed naturalism. I ask still further, what else was the damnable heresy of Arius, on account of whom the Nicene Council was convened by the Emperor Constantine the Great, then his denial of the divinity of the Lord's human? Tell me, moreover, whom you understand by these words in Jeremiah, Behold, the days come that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and this is his name, Yahuwah our righteousness. If you say a son born from eternity, you are irrational. That was not the Redeemer. But if you say the son born in time, who was the only begotten son of God, you say rightly. He through redemption became the righteousness upon which you build your faith. Read also Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and many other passages in which it is foretold that Yahuwah himself would come into the world. At this, the president was silent and turned away. When all this had occurred, the president wished to dismiss the synod with a prayer, but just then a man started up from the company on the left with a turban on his head and a cap over the turban. He touched the cap with his finger and said, "I also am associated with a man in your world, who there occupies a position of great honor. This I know, because I speak from him as from myself." I asked where the eminent man lived, and he answered, "At Gothenburg." And from him, at one time, I thought that your new doctrines favored Mohammedanism. I saw that on hearing this, all those on the right, where the apostolic fathers stood, were thunderstruck, and their countenances changed, and I heard such exclamations as these issuing from their minds through their mouths, "Oh, horrible! Oh, what an age!" But to calm their just indignation, I stretched forth my hand and begged a hearing, which, being granted, I said, "I know that a man of that eminence wrote something of the kind in a letter which was afterwards printed, but if he had known what blasphemy it was, he certainly would have torn the letter to pieces and thrown it into the fire. A slander like that is meant by the Lord's words to the Jews, when they said that Christ wrought miracles other than by divine power. And in addition to this, the Lord says there, 'He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad.'" These words, the countenance of the associate spirit fell, but presently he looked up and said, "I have now heard worse things from you than ever." But I continued, "There are two items in this charge, naturalism and Mohammedanism, which are wicked lies and crafty inventions, and two deadly stigmas designed to turn aside the wills of men and to deter them from the holy worship of the Lord." And I turned to the latter associate spirit and said, "Tell the man at Gothenburg, if you can, to read what is said by the Lord in Revelation 3, verse 18, and also 2, verse 16. At these remarks, a tumult arose, but it was quieted by light sent down from heaven, in consequence of which many of those on the left passed over to those on the right, those only remaining who thought superficially, and therefore depended on the word of some master, also whose thought of the word was merely human. From both of these classes the light went down from heaven and appeared to be thrown back, but to fall upon those who had passed over from the left to the right." Questions and comments. 1. Revelation 2 verse 16 says, "Repent, otherwise I will come to thee quickly and will fight among them with the sword of my mouth." 2. Revelation 3:18 says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold fired in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white garments, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness may not be made manifest, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." 3. We read that one of the spirits was connected with someone at Gothenburg, and from him I at one time thought that your new doctrines favored Mohammedanism. Gothenburg was the place where the heresy trials were held against the works of Swedenborg. Swedenborg was not personally tried, but the works he had penned were.